ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स। We have been discussing the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam since 2 days. And in the first two episodes, we have covered the first 15 chapters of the fifth canto. And in these 15 chapters, we have seen a description of the dynasty of Priyavrata Maharaj. Priyavrata Maharaj was the son of Swayambhu Manu. And in his glorious dynasty, we have great kings like Agnidhra, Nabhi, Rishabhadev, Bharat Maharaj. We have described the activities of all these great personalities in these 15 chapters. So, the second half of the 5th canto means the 16th chapter of 5th canto till the 26th chapter describe the structure of the universe. And in the beginning of the 16th chapter of this canto, Parikshit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, in the very first chapter, while describing the activities of Priyavrata Maharaj, you had mentioned that Priyavrata Maharaj had created 7 ditches in the Bhumandala while traveling on his chariot. So, in the Bhumandala, Priyavrata's chariot impressions have created 7 ditches, and these 7 ditches formed 7 great oceans in the Bhumandala, and naturally, Bhumandala is divided into 7 great islands. So, these 7 islands are separated by the 7 oceans. So, Parikshit Maharaj became inquisitive to know the dimensions of these islands and oceans and also their characteristics. So, next, Sukadeva Goswami says, "Oh, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, you are trying to understand the structure of the universe. How this universe is filled with so many oceans and islands and different planetary systems. And this whole material universe is formed by the external energy or the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The energy of the Lord by which this universe is manifested is called Maya, the external energy. So, by understanding the functionings of this material energy, and how this whole material world is created, we will be protected from being entangled in that material energy." So, Sukadeva Goswami describes the structure of this whole Bhumandala in response to the inquiry of Parikshit Maharaj. He first says that the middlemost island, now 7 islands are formed in Bhumandala. The whole Bhumandala is in the form of a big circle, like a disc, big disc. Not exactly flat, it's slightly... there is some slope. So, this whole Bhumandala is circular in shape, and there are 7 islands. The middlemost island is called Jambudvipa, which is circular in shape. And surrounding the Jambudvipa, there is saltwater ocean. And around that saltwater ocean, there is the next Dvipa, Plakshadvipa, which is like the shape of a ring. So, now the remaining 7 islands, remaining 6 islands and the 7 oceans are in the form of rings, while the middlemost island is in the form of a circle. So that is called Jambudvipa. The middlemost island in the Bhumandala is called Jambudvipa. Dvipa means island. So first, Sukadeva Goswami describes the structure of Jambudvipa. He says, as you are seeing in that picture, there is a lotus picture there. So the Jambudvipa is the middlemost dvipa. It's right in the middle of this whole Bhumandala. And the width of this Jambudvipa is 10,000 yojanas. While the entire Bhumandala is compared like a lotus, this Jambudvipa is like the whirl of the lotus, that yellow color whirl that comes out in the lotus. That is the Jambudvipa. And in the Jambudvipa, there are 9 varshas, or 9 tracts of land, separated by very high mountain ranges. So we will see the structure in a picture. So the Jambudvipa has 9 varshas, and they are separated by 9 mountain ranges. So first we will see the middlemost Varsha. A tract of land is called Varsha, and Jambudvipa has 9 Varshas. The middlemost Varsha is in the form of a square, and the name of this Varsha is called Ilavrita Varsha. You can see that picture, the whole big yellow circle, that is the Jambudvipa, and around that there is the saltwater ocean, and in the middle you can see that brown color square, that is the Ilavrita Varsha. And in the middle of the Ilavrita Varsha, there is a huge mountain called Mount Sumeru, Sumeru Mountain. It is sometimes also called Meru Mountain in short. So you can see the next picture where you see the front view of this whole Bhumandala. So that yellow circle is Bhumandala, and around that there is saltwater ocean. Now we are seeing the structure of the dimensions of this Mount Meru. The height of this Mount Meru is 100,000 yojanas. And the width of this Bhumandala, width of this Jambudvipa is also 100,000 yojanas. The width of Jambudvipa and the height of Mount Sumeru, both are same, 100,000 yojanas. And out of this 100,000 yojanas of this Mount Sumeru, 84,000 yojanas are above ground level, 16,000 yojanas are below ground level. You can see in that picture. And the width of the Mount Meru on top, on its summit, is 32,000 yojanas. And at the bottom, it is 16,000 yojanas, as you see. One yojana is 8 miles. So like that, 1,000 yojanas is 8,000 miles. So you can calculate like that. So these are the dimensions of overall Jambudvipa and Mount Sumeru. And you can see the next picture, the 3D picture, where Mount Sumeru is nicely seen. So this is Mount Meru, which is very tall, golden in color, and it is in the middle of Ilavrita Varsha, which is in the shape of a square, and around that there are 8 more Varshas. We will see the characteristics of those Varshas in the next slides. So first we will focus on, now you can see this full picture where the entire Bhumandala, entire Jambudvipa is seen. So this Jambudvipa has 9 Varshas, as I said. The middlemost Varsha is Ilavrita Varsha. You can see in that yellow picture. So there are 9 mountain ranges. And the middlemost Varsha is Ilavrita Varsha. On either side of Ilavrita Varsha, you see Ketumala Varsha and Bhadraswa Varsha. The width of Ilavrita Varsha is 34,000 yojanas. Because it is in the form of a square, the height and width both are 34,000 yojanas. And on either side of Ilavrita Varsha, there is Ketumala Varsha and Bhadraswa Varsha. Their widths are 31,000 yojanas. 34,000 yojanas width, 31 plus 31, total 62 plus 34. And the remaining portion is the width of these mountain ranges. So Ilavrita Varsha is separated from Ketumala Varsha and Bhadraswa Varsha by these two mountain ranges called Malyavan and Gandhamadana. So these are the middle Varshas. And towards the north side of Ilavrita Varsha, there is a huge mountain range called Neela Varsha. The width of all these mountain ranges are 2000 yojanas. So there is Neela, the width of this Neela mountain range is 2000 yojanas, and the width of all mountain ranges is 2000 yojanas only. And above this Neela mountain range, there is Ramyaka Varsha. And above Ramyaka Varsha, there is Sweta mountain range. Above Sweta mountain range, there is Hiranmaya Varsha. And above Hiranmaya Varsha, there is Sringavan mountain range. And above that is Kuru Varsha. Now, these are the three Varshas, Ramyaka Varsha, Hiranmaya Varsha, and Kuru Varsha on the northern side of Ilavrita Varsha. And towards the south, you find Hari Varsha, Kimpurusha Varsha, and Bharata Varsha, separated by three mountain ranges called Nishadha, Hemakuta, and Himalaya. So total 9 mountain ranges. Sorry, 8 mountain ranges and 9 Varshas. So 9 Varshas of Jambudvipa are separated by these 8 huge mountain ranges. And the height of these mountain ranges are 10,000, and the width is 2,000. And the width of each of these Varshas on top and bottom. So on the top there are 3 mountain ranges, 3 Varshas, and in the bottom there are 3 Varshas. So the width of each of these Varshas is around 9,000 yojanas. So these are the 9 varshas or 9 tracts of land in the Jambudvipa, which is the middlemost island in the entire Bhumandala. Now you can see the next picture, which is little more organized. So that has the whole structure of Jambudvipa with all its varshas and all its mountain ranges and the saltwater ocean around. Now we can see the next picture, that is, we are zooming more into Ilavrata Varsha. So Ilavrata Varsha has a very specific structure. As we already discussed, in the middle of Ilavrata Varsha, which is square in shape, there is a huge mountain called Sumeru. And the width of Sumeru mountain is 16,000 yojanas in the middle, as we have seen before only. And around this Mount Sumeru, there are 8 mountain ranges. You can see this picture, where Mount Sumeru is there. On 4 sides of this Mount Sumeru, there are 8 big mountain ranges. On the right side, you see Jathara and Devakuta. In the bottom, Kailasha and Karavira. On the left side, you see Pavana and Pariyartha. And on the top, you see Trishrunga and Makara. So these are the 8 mountain ranges surrounding this Mount Sumeru. And above and beyond these 8 mountain ranges, there are 4 more mountain ranges. Towards the north, there is Kumuda. Towards the east, there is Mandara. Southern side, there is Meru Mandara. On the western side, there is Suparshva. These are 4 additional mountains, huge mountains. And on each of these 4 mountains, which are on the outside, on each of these mountains, you find one big tree. So, for example, on Kumuda mountain range, which is on the north side of Sumeru mountain, there is a big tree called Satavalsha tree. That's a banyan tree. And also a beautiful river that flows there. That river is filled with milk, yogurt, honey and ghee. And there is also a beautiful garden there called Sarvatobhadra. And the water, there is a lake on that garden. So that is a pure water lake. And on the eastern side, you see Mandara Mountain. On top of Mandara Mountain, there is a tree called Devachuta tree. So it's a mango tree. And also there is a river that flows on top of it. And that is river is called Arunoda. And you also find a mountain, and also you found a very beautiful garden called Nandana Garden. And there is milk lake there in that Nandana garden. So similarly, there are lakes and mountains and trees and rivers on the other 2 sides of Mount Sumeru also. So around this mountain ranges, now in the middle you find this Mount Sumeru. On 4 sides of Mount Sumeru, you have 8 mountain ranges. And beyond these 8 mountains, you have 4 big mountains. And beyond these 4 tall mountains, you have 20 mountains. They are called Kesarachala mountains. They are very small, like filaments of lotus. So this is the structure of Ilavrata Varsha. So Ilavrata Varsha's width is 34,000. And the Ilavrata Varsha has all these important details of Mount Sumeru and then smaller mountains, many smaller mountains on all the 4 sides. Now Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport here. Now there are so many mountains on this earthly planet. And similarly, there are so many mountains on the universe also. In the universe, there are so many planets. Now, we know only Bharata Varsha. And you know only one planet. There are so many planets there. So, these universal mountains, we may feel that, do they exist? We never see them. So, we may not be able to see so many things that exist. So, Prabhupada says that you cannot verify the statements of Bhagavatam and you cannot even disprove the statements of Bhagavatam. Better you accept it with faith. Sukadeva Goswami has spoken so many things in Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva has written so many things in Bhagavatam. And we accept all of them as authority. And similarly, we have to also accept the universe, the structure of the universe presented by Sukadeva Goswami also as authoritative and bona fide. Prabhupada says, our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Bhagavatam. So one needs to be satisfied with the information given here by the authorities. So Prabhupada speaks about faith here. Because otherwise, one may think that, oh, these mountain ranges are there. It seems really unbelievable, inconceivable. Yes, there are so many unbelievable and inconceivable things in this universe. And you can see the Jambudvipa from another view. So where you see the mountain ranges, this whole Sumeru mountain and also Kesarachala mountains and other mountain ranges, which are like 10,000 yojanas high above the ground level and the 9 varshas. So another interesting aspect. Now there are so many views, you can see them. Now on top of Mount Meru, so Mount Meru, you have seen the shape. It's like a cone, inverted cone. So on top of this mountain, the width is 32,000 yojanas. At the bottom, it is 16,000 yojanas. So on top of the Meru mountain, in the 32,000 yojanas width circle, you have 9 abodes of different devatas. And the middlemost abode is the abode of Brahma called Manovati. You can see that picture. And on the north side, you find Kuvera's abode called Mahodaya. On the southern side, you find Yamaraj's abode called Samyamani. And on the eastern side, you find Indra's abode as Amaravati. And on the western side, you find Varuna's abode as Shraddhavati. And on the other four sides, like northeast, southeast, and all those other four directions, you have abodes of Shiva, Agni, Niruti and Vayu as seen in that picture. So total 8 abodes of demigods surround the middlemost abode, 9th abode of Brahma. So these are not the real planets of these demigods. They are like extra places of these demigods. They have their own abodes at different places also in the universe. So that completes the 16th chapter. Now we enter the 17th chapter. 17th chapter describes the movements of Ganga. So the celestial Ganges river flows throughout the universe. When Lord Vamanadev went to Bali Maharaj and begged 3 steps of land, then Bali Maharaj donated 3 steps. And Bali Maharaj was the king of all three planetary systems. So then Vamanadev accepted these 3 steps of land, and to occupy these 3 steps, he has expanded his size into Trivikrama and occupied two entire universe with his 2 steps only. So he covered all the earth with 1 leg and he lifted his another leg to pierce even the coverings of the universe. So when Vamanadev lifted his leg, then he pierced the coverings of the universe, and the Ganges river descended into this universe. So when Ganges river descended, you can see that picture where the path of Ganga is described, is mentioned. So from causal ocean is on the on outside of this universe. So there is this universe which is there within the causal ocean. So when the Lord Trivikrama pierced the coverings of the universe, then Ganges river came, the causal ocean came inside the universe and fell on Dhruvaloka. And from Dhruvaloka, it descended to the Saptarshiloka. There are 7 planets of 7 sages. They are below the Dhruvaloka. We will see the vertical structure of the universe, then we will understand more. So Dhruvaloka, the Ganges thus descended from causal ocean to Dhruvaloka, from Dhruvaloka to Saptarshi Mandala, and from Saptarshi Mandala to Moon planet, and from Moon planet to top of Mount Meru. So on top of Mount Meru, it descended, Ganges, and Ganges was divided into 4 paths. So you can see on the eastern side, the Ganges river is called Sita, and on the southern side, it is Alakananda, and on the northern side, it is Bhadra, and on the western side, it is Chakshu. So these are the 4 paths of Ganga: Sita, Alakananda, Bhadra, and Chakshu. So that celestial Ganges is divided into 4 paths. And from there, this Ganges river descends into the lower planets and then slowly touch the peaks of Himalayas and then go to Haridwar and other places in the India are purified. So this is the path of Ganges. So basically, this Ganges will fall from the Dhruvaloka through Saptarshi Mandala, through Moon planet on top of Mount Meru. On top of Mount Meru, it is divided into 4 paths. You can see in that picture. And Now it goes on four sides through the abodes of different demigods and then descends on all four sides of the Meru mountain and then comes and falls in the different varshas that we saw earlier in the Jambudvipa. So now there are 9 varshas in Jambudvipa. Out of these 9 varshas, except Bharata Varsha, remaining 8 varshas are called the heavenly varshas. Heaven means Swarga. There is one Swargaloka on top. There is these 8 varshas are also called heavenly varshas. They are called Bhauma Swarga. The inhabitants in these 8 heavenly varshas, other than the Bharata Varsha, they live for 10,000 years. They are almost like demigods. Their bodily strength is like 10,000 elephants. And they have a lot of sensual strength. And they conceive child only in the last 1 year of their lifetime. And the pleasure, their pleasure is like the pleasure of inhabitants of Treta Yuga in this Bharata Varsha. Means they have much more refined lifestyle. And also we find some small description of the 4 Yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga in this context. And these are the characteristics of these inhabitants in the 8 heavenly varshas. So there is no pregnancy which is repeated. There is no repeated pregnancy in the upper varshas, higher planets. So there is only one pregnancy in one lifetime. While in the Bharata Varsha, human beings could become pregnant once in a year. And if it goes lower to say animal species, in one pregnancy only, they can just deliver some, say for example, dog can deliver some 10 or 6, half dozen or 1 dozen puppies. Or pig can deliver some 10, 12 piglets in one pregnancy only. And if one goes to even more lower species like snakes or so, at one time only they can deliver say 100 eggs. Yeah? So like 1,000 insects are born at one time in one shot. So the point is, the more one's consciousness is elevated, the least is the sex desire. And the least is pregnancy rate. That is, that we can see. And the opulence of these 8 heavenly varshas is further described. The gardens are filled with seasonal flowers and fruits. They have beautifully decorated hermitages. So these are the descriptions of the varshas of Jambudvipa. And we have seen that Jambudvipa has 9 varshas and Ilavrata Varsha is elaborately described in this. Now we will see that in each of these varshas, there are different kinds of residents and there are prominent residents and those prominent residents worship the predominating deity in that varsha. So you can see that picture. For example, in Ilavrata Varsha, Lord Shiva is the prominent resident and he worships Lord Sankarsana. In Bhadraswa Varsha, Bhadraswa worships Hari, Hayasirsha or Hayagriva. In Ketumala Varsha, Mother Lakshmi along with other devatas worship Hrishikesha. And in Ramyaka Varsha, Manu worships Matsya. In Hiranmaya Varsha, Aryama worships Kurma. In Uttarakuru Varsha, this inhabitants of Uttarakuru Varsha worship the boar or the Varahadev. And in Hari Varsha, Prahalad Maharaj worships Narasimhadev. In Kimpurusha Varsha, the monkeys like Hanumanji and Sugriva, they worship Lord Ramachandra. And in Bharata Varsha, Naradamuni worships Naranarayana Rishi. There are so many residents, but there are prominent residents also, and there are presiding deities also in each of these varshas. Now, although Sukadeva Goswami is describing the structure of the universe, now he spends 2.5 chapters describing the prayers of the residents of the Jambudvipa to their presiding deities. So that's how prayers are very important and prominent element in entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Not a single canto of Bhagavatam is devoid of prayers. Every canto of Bhagavatam has some prayers offered to the Supreme Lord in some of his forms. Now we will see these 9 sets of prayers in short. Now we will begin with Ilavrata Varsha. In the Ilavrata Varsha, Lord Shiva worships Lord Sankarsana. And he says, ఓం నమో భగవతే మహాపురుషాయ సర్వగుణ సాంఖ్యాయనాయ అనంతాయ అవ్యక్తాయ నమ ఇతి. దిస్ ఇస్ ద సంకర్షణ మంత్ర విత్ విచ్ లార్డ్ శివ వర్షిప్స్ సంకర్షణ. ఓ లార్డ్, యు ఆర్ మహాపురుష అండ్ యు ఆర్ అనంత, యు ఆర్ అవ్యక్త, యు ఆర్ అన్లిమిటెడ్, యు ఆర్ అన్మానిఫెస్టెడ్, లైక్ దట్. అండ్ హీ సేస్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్, 18th శ్లోక,
భజే భజన్యారణ పాద పంకజం భగస్య కృత్స్నస్య పరంపరాయణం భక్తేశ్వలం భూ భావిత భూత భావనం భవాపహం త్వా భవ భావమీశ్వరం.
హియర్ శివ సేస్ భజే భజన్య అరణ పాద పంకజం, ఓ లార్డ్, యు ఆర్ ద మోస్ట్ వర్షిపబుల్ డీటీ అండ్ యువర్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ ప్రొటెక్ట్ ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్. అరణ పాద పంకజం భగస్య కృత్స్నస్య పరంపరాయణం, భగ మీన్స్ ఆప్యులెన్సెస్, కృత్స్నస్య మీన్స్ కంప్లీట్లీ. ఓ లార్డ్, యు కంప్లీట్లీ పొసెస్ ఆల్ ఆప్యులెన్సెస్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్ అండ్ పరంపరాయణం, యు ఆర్ ద బెస్ట్ అండ్ అల్టిమేట్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ బీయింగ్స్. భక్తేషు అలం భావిత భూత భావనం, యు సే, హీ సేస్ దట్ యు మేనిఫెస్ట్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఫర్ ద సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీస్. సో ఇన్ దిస్ వే లార్డ్ శివ గ్లోరిఫైస్ లార్డ్ సంకర్షణ. హీ సేస్ భవాపహం త్వా, భవ అపహం మీన్స్ యూ కెన్ వ్యాంక్విష్ ద మెటీరియల్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్. భవ భావం ఈశ్వరం, యు ఆర్ ద ఆరిజిన్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ క్రియేషన్. సో లైక్ దట్ లార్డ్ శివ గ్లోరిఫైస్ లార్డ్ సంకర్షణ ఇన్ వేరియస్ వేస్. ఇన్ ద 19th శ్లోక హీ సేస్ నయస్య మాయా గుణచిత్త వృత్తిభిర్, ఓ లార్డ్, యువర్ పర్సనాలిటీ ఈజ్ నెవర్ ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్డ్ బై మాయా గుణస్, బై ద మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్. యు ఆర్ ఆల్వేస్ సెల్ఫ్ కంట్రోల్డ్ అండ్ ఈవెన్ when the wives of Kaliya are coming and touching your feet, they felt shy because they are girls and they touched your lotus feet and they felt shy, but your senses are never agitated. And as Lord Sankarsana, you hold all the planetary systems on your hoods. You are the holder of entire Bhumandala, he says like that. And from you descend Brahma, and from Brahma comes Rudra, from Rudra comes other demigods. Like that, you are the source of all the demigods in the entire cosmic manifestation. So in this way, Lord Shiva offers various prayers to Sankarsana in the Ilavrata Varsha. Now we have discussed the structure of Jambudvipa. In the Jambudvipa, there are 9 Varshas or 9 tracts of land separated by 8 mountain ranges. We have seen their dimensions. We have seen other details. Now we are seeing the prayers of the residents of each of these 9 varshas to their presiding deities. We discussed Shiva's prayers in Ilavrata Varsha. Now we will go to Bhadraswa Varsha. In Bhadraswa Varsha, Bhadraswa worships Hayasirsha or Hayagriva. So he worships the Lord with this mantra. Om namo bhagavate dharmayatma vishodhanaya nama iti. O Lord, you cleanse the hearts of all conditioned souls. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. And he describes the fallacy of conditioned souls in his prayers.
Aho vichitram bhagavad vicheshtitam ghanantam janoyam himishanna pashyati dhyanam asadyarhi vikarma sevitum nirhritya putram pitaram jijivisham.
In this shloka, this Bhadraswa is glorifying the Supreme Lord while describing the fallacy of conditioned souls. In this material world, the conditioned souls shamelessly desire the wealth of other people. When father dies, the son has a lot of greed to take the property of father for his own enjoyment. And even when son dies, the father has the greed to take the property of the son. So there is natural greed in an average conditioned soul. Of course, there are some exalted people, but they are very rare. But an average conditioned soul has a lot of greed for money, and even they want to take money from their near and dear relatives also. And in the next shloka, our Bhadraswa describes how Lord's Maya is very powerful. He says,
Vadanti Vishvam Kavayasmanashwaram పశ్యంతి చాధ్యాత్మ విదోపి పశ్చితహం తథాపి ముహ్యంతి తవాజమాయయ సువిస్మితం కృత్యమజం నతోస్మ్యహం
నతోస్మితం. సో హియర్ హి సేస్ వదంతి విశ్వం కవయస్మనశ్వరం, దేర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ సేజెస్ అండ్ ఫిలాసఫర్స్ అండ్ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్, పశ్యంతి చ ఆధ్యాత్మ విదో విపశ్చితః, దీస్ లెర్నెడ్ స్కాలర్స్, they will be able to see the temporary nature of this entire material creation. And tathapi muhyanti tavaja mayaya, although they are great preachers, they are great teachers, they are great philosophers, they understand the futility of this material enjoyment, they understand the temporary nature of this material realm, still tathapi, still muhyanti tava ajamayaya, they are bewildered by the maya of the Supreme Lord. Suvismitam, they are thoroughly bewildered. They are totally confused and captivated. Why? Although a person becomes very exalted, he cannot stay in that exalted position if he is inattentive. For instance, if somebody is climbing steps on a ladder on top of a building, say he climbs 3 steps and he could not proceed and then he falls down from there, he may have some small hurt on his leg. But if he climbs 20 steps and falls from there, he may break his back, he may break his leg completely. So the more altitude you reach while climbing, the more careful we need to be. So now as we progress more in the path of bhakti, that should not increase our overconfidence, that should not increase our complacency and pride, but that should increase our carefulness and attention. So advancement means more attention in the practice of bhakti. So because fall down from a very exalted position could cause greater damage also sometimes. So here he says that tathapi muhyanti tavaja mayaya, even great souls also get bewildered by the maya of the Lord. One has to be very attentive. Prabhupada writes in the purport. So one will fall from one's transcendental position because of inattentiveness in one's absorption in devotional service. In this way, Bhadrasva describes the Lord's maya, and he also describes the inconceivable powers of the Lord. And finally, he describes, oh, Hayagriva, you have retrieved the Vedas and given that Vedas to Brahmaji. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So these are the prayers of Bhadrasva in Bhadrasva Varsha. We have discussed 2 prayers. One, the prayer of Lord Shiva in Ilavarta Varsha. Second, the prayer of Bhadrasva in Bhadrasva Varsha. And third, we will see the prayers of Prahlada in Hari Varsha. Prahlada worships Narasimhadev in the Hari Varsha. He worships the Lord with this mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namastejasa Tejasi Avir Avir Bhava Vajra Nakha Vajra Damshtra Karmashayan Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuishta Om Kshrum. Very long mantra. We won't be able to discuss the meanings of every individual word. So we will discuss a couple of shlokas of Prahlad's prayers here. So in the 9th shloka, Prahlad prays. Very beautiful and sweet prayer.
Svastyastu vishvasya khalaha prasidatam dhyayantu mu bhutani shivam mithodhiyam manascha bhadram bhajata dadokshaje aveshyatam no matirapya haitukim.
He says, svasti astu, let there be auspiciousness. Vishvasya khalaha prasidatam, khala means villains, bad people, demoniac people, materialistic people, selfish people, they are called khala. So svastyastu, let there be auspiciousness for them also. Svastyastu vishvasya khalaha prasidatam, may there be auspiciousness for everyone in the universe. Let even the envious people also be pacified. How will that happen? He says, dhyayantu bhutani mitham shivam mithodiyah. Let these envious people also meditate on the welfare of common people. How can envious people become well-wishers of others? Prahlad says, it's very simple. Manascha bhadram bhajata adhokshaje. If within their minds, if they can worship the Supreme Lord Adhokshaja, the Supreme Lord Krishna or Narasimhadev, naturally they will become well-wishers of others. Our envy will be converted into well-wishing nature to the degree we take shelter of Narasimhadev. Aveshyatam na matirapya ahituki. We have to perform ahituki bhakti for transforming our envy into love and well-wishing nature, friendly nature. And Prahlad further says, there are so many beautiful shlokas. Prahlad says that may our attachment for materialistic family life be diverted towards devotees of the Lord. And devotees are holier than holy rivers also. And devotees have all good qualities. He says,
Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathena satidhavato bahi.
He says that yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana, those who perform akinchana bhakti, unflinching devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, they have all good qualities. He says that sarvair gunaistatra samasati suraha, all the good qualities even in the demigods are also present in these devotees. Sarvair gunaistatra samasati suraha harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna. If one is not a devotee of the Lord, what great qualities that he might have. And manoratha nasati dhavato bahi. Manoratha, on the platform, on the chariot of mental concoction, he wanders in this material existence aimlessly, radderless. That is the fallacy of a person who does not have devotion unto God. And finally he says,
Tasmad rajoraga vishadamanyu manaspruha bhayadhainyadimulam hitva graham samsriti chakravalam drasimhapadam bhajata adakuto bhayam.
He says, Tasmad rajo raga vishada manyu. Oh, my dear demons, Prahlad was born in a demoniac dynasty, although he did not have demoniac quality. He urges all the demons. He says that, oh, demons, raja, passion, raga, attachment, vishada, lamentation, manyu, anger, give up all these things.
Tasmad rajo raga vishada manyu manaspraha bhaya dhainyadhimulam.
Give up your mana, sense of false prestige, or greed for respect for oneself.
Manas praha bhaya dhain bhaya.
Give up your fear. So you give up all these negative qualities and do what? He says, hitva graham samsriti chakravalam. Give up this materialistic life, which is like a chakravala, whirlpool of maya. And do what? Nrisimhapadam bhajatat. You worship the lotus feet of Lord Narasimha. Drasimhapadam bhajatat akuto bhayam. If at all you want to become fearless, Narasimhadev is the bestower of fearlessness. Narasimhadev has killed Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means gold. Kashipu means soft bed. So materialistic persons are attached to this wealth, material wealth, and sense enjoyment on a soft bed. So just as Narasimhadev has killed Hiranyakashipu, Narasimhadev can also kill our material desires completely. So that is the prayer. And in the Ketumala Varsha, Mother Lakshmi worships Lord Hrishikesha. Here, Lakshmi Devi says that, oh Lord, people worship you for a good husband. Out of illusion, they worship you. Ladies worship you to attain a good husband. But who? You are the good husband. You are the best husband. You are the only Purusha. All the so-called husbands cannot actually protect these women. They are thinking that their husbands will protect them in all ways, but you are the ultimate husband. Yes, a woman may have a husband, a man may have a wife, but ultimately man and woman, or wife and husband, should take shelter of Lakshmi Narayana. And taking shelter only of Lakshmi is also condemned by Lakshmi herself. Many people worship me to get material wealth, but I am not very pleased with them. Those who worship me, ignoring you, are not dear to me. Lakshmi says, those who worship Lakshmi and ignore Narayana are not very dear to Lakshmi. She says like that in this prayer. I do not favor a non-devotee. Even if he is a devata also, demigod also, I don't care. So, and she also says that, oh Narayana, you give more favor to your devotees than even me. So you are more inclined towards your devotees than your wife. She says like that. And in the Ramyaka Varsha, this Vaivaswata Manu offers his prayers to Matsyavatar. So Matsyavatar mantra. He chants the Matsyavatar mantra, and then he also glorifies Matsyavatar as the controller of the universe, the super soul, the maintainer, and
he protected Vaivasvata Manu also once. And in the Hiranmaya Varsha, Aryama worships Kurma, Kurma Devata, the tortoise incarnation of the Lord. So here Aryama glorifies the Lord as Virat Rupa, and all forms actually manifest from the Lord's energy, and they are temporary manifestations of Lord's energy, but the Lord is permanently existent, and no one can determine his actual form. Yet he has analyzed all the material ingredients in the form of Kapila Dev. We have discussed in the third canto how the Lord appeared in the form of Kapila and analyzed all the material elements. And in Uttarakuru Varsha, Mother Bhumi worships Varahadev, because Varahadev has lifted Mother Earth from the depths of Garbhodaka ocean. So she offers prayers there. And she glorifies the Lord in various ways. And then she says that just as an elephant lifts lotus effortlessly, you have lifted me and protected me. Like that. So that completes 18th chapter. And in this 18th chapter and in the previous 17th chapter, we have seen the prayers of Lord Shiva to Sankarsana in Elavarta Varsha. We have seen prayers of Bhadrashva to Hayagriva in Bhadrashva Varsha. We have also seen the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Narasimha Dev in Harivarsha. Like that, we have seen other prayers. Prayers to Kurma, prayers to Hrishikesha by Lakshmi Devi. So now we have two more prayers remaining. They are described in the 19th chapter of this canto. So in the Kimpurusha Varsha, Hanumanji offers his prayers to Lord Ramachandra. Very sweet prayers. He says, he first glorifies the Lord with Rama Mantra and glorifies the Lord as touchstone or testing stone. So there is some testing stone that can verify the quality of gold. So if we take the gold and then rub it on the testing stone, whether it is pure gold or like contaminated gold, we can understand. So the Lord Ramachandra is like the testing stone in whom all the qualities attain their perfection. Means just like when Krishna wears ornaments are beautified, not Krishna. Krishna is Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. He is the ornament of all ornaments. Ornaments become beautiful if Krishna wears them. Similarly, the qualities of righteousness, the quality of being an ideal king, ideal son, ideal husband, ideal brother, the quality of being righteous and virtuous, all these qualities are glorified when Lord Ramachandra exhibits them. It's not that Ram is great because he has all these good qualities. All these good qualities are good because Lord Ram exhibited them. Like that, Hanumanji glorifies Lord Ram as testing stone that can verify the quality of gold. Now he says, Yattadvishuddhanubhavamatramekam svatejasadhvastagunavyavastham pratyakprashantam sudhiyopalambhanam hyanamarupam niraham prapadye. Yattadvishuddhanubhavamatramekam. Vishuddha anubhava matramekam means the Lord can be experienced and realized only by people who have Vishuddha Sattva consciousness, people who have pure consciousness, uncontaminated consciousness. Svatejasa dhastagunavyavastham, by his own potency, the Lord can completely destroy the vyavastha of gunas, the system of material modes. Svatejasa dhastagunavyavastham pratyak prashantam sudhiyopalambhanam. The Lord is manifest in the heart of a pure, sincere devotee. Hyanama rupam niraham prapadye. The Lord does not have nama or rupa. Means no material name, no material form. All his names and forms are completely spiritual in nature. Niraham prapadye. Niraham prapadye. Certainly I will surrender unto you. Niraham prapadye can also mean without any ahankara, I will worship you. I will keep aside my false ego and I will take your shelter. This is the prayer. And another important shloka that is glorifying Lord Ramachandra here. Martyavatarastviha martyasikshanam rakshovadhayaivana kevalam vibhoho. Here he says, Hanumanji says, that, O Lord, you have descended in the form of a human being, not only to kill the demons, right? He says that raksho vadhayaiva cha kevalam vibho. It's not only to kill rakshasas. You have attained
you have manifested yourself in the form of a human being to also give sikshana. Martyavatarastu iha martya sikshanam. You wanted to give sikshana or training to all human beings by your own personal example. And further he says, Sugriva offers this prayer. This is the 7th shloka.
Na janma nonam mahato na saubhagam navanna buddhir na kritistosha hetuhu tairyad visrishtan apino vanaukasa chakara sakhye batalakshmanagraja na janma nonam mahato na saubhagam navan na buddhir na akriti na tosha hetu.
So the Lord Ramachandra is not pleased with janma, means high birth. Mahata, greatness, saubhagam, opulence, and vak means eloquence, buddhir, intelligence, akriti, bodily shape, tosha hetuhu. These are not the cause of the Lord's satisfaction. Otherwise, why would Lord Ramachandra make friendship with monkeys, bears, and animals? Now, Hanumanji was a monkey. Vibhishana was a born rakshasa. And Jambavan was a bear. And Lord Ram also had some friendship with squirrels. And one Jatayu is there, vulture. So who will make friendship with vultures and monkeys and bears? Lord Ram had made friendship with them. So Lord Ramachandra is so benevolent. So the Lord does not consider high birth, low birth. He can even make friendship with non-human species also. That is the greatness of Lord Ramachandra. So what we need to approach the Lord is sincere devotion more than these external qualifications. So he is pleased with little service also. In this way, Hanumanji glorifies Lord Ramachandra. Now, prayers are offered by Narada Muni to Naranarayan Rishis in the Bharata Varsha. So, Naranarayan Rishis are glorified in this way.
Kartasya sarga dishuyo anabadhyate nahanyate deha gato api daihi kaihi drashturna drugyasya gunair vidushyate tasmai namo sakta vivikta sakshini.
The shloka says, Kartasya sargadishu yona badhyate. Sarga means creation. Karta means the doer. Although the Lord does creation of this material world, na badhyate, he is not bound by it. When we create something, we are bound by that creation. We become attached to that creation. But the Lord creates this world and he destroys this world also. If he creates, how can he destroy? Because he has no attachment. He is creating, maintaining and destroying for our sake, not for his sake. It's not his pleasure. Of course, he takes pleasure in any activity, but this particular material creation and destruction is done as an obligation to the conditioned souls. So, kartasya sargadishu yona badhyati, although he does creation, maintenance and destruction, he is not bound by these actions like we do. And nahanyate dehagatopi daihi kaihi. So, when a soul goes into a material body, he will be encountering so many material miseries. But when the Lord takes the form of Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Vamana, etc., he is not bound by all these things. He is not affected by these bodily structures, bodily frailties. Then Drashturna Drugyasya Gunair Vidushyate. Although the Lord sees things, he is not affected by his vision. He sees things, but he is unaffected. When we see some ghastly incident, we become fearful. When we see some sense gratificatory incident, we may get attracted. But the Lord is unaffected by both. He is tasmai namo asakta vivikta sakshine. He is unattached, pure witness of things. So in this way, Naranarayan Rishis are glorified by Narada Muni. So that completes the prayers of the residents of the 9 varshas of Jambudvipa to their presiding deities. Now, Bharata Varsha is specifically glorified. We have seen the prayers of Narada Muni in Bharata Varsha, which are offered to Naranarayan Rishis. Now, the demigods specifically glorify Bharata Varsha. Bharata Varsha is very special. So, the demigods glorify. The birth, human birth in Bharata Varsha is so glorious that within a short lifespan, one can go back to Godhead if he performs Bhakti Yoga. And this birth in Bharatavarsha, human birth in Bharatavarsha is extremely rare and very fortunate, and it's actually a place fit for residence, because there is not too much of happiness there like in heavenly planets. There is not too much of distress there in Bharatavarsha like in the lower planets. But in Bharatavarsha, there is a mixture of happiness and distress, and there is an impetus to depend on God. If you are too much in distress, you cannot remember the Lord. If you are too much in happiness also, you cannot remember the Lord. But if you have a mixture, if there is like little moderate in both, then it's easy to remember the Lord. So now, to live in such a place and to get an opportunity to practice bhakti is glorious. It's a fortunate position. And if that fortunate position is not there, even staying in the heavenly planets is also burdensome. Here, the demigods are saying, Nayatra vaikuntha katha sudhapaga nasadhavo bhagavatastadashraya Nayatra yagnesha makhama hotsava suresha loko apinavaisa sevyata Nayatra vaikuntha katha sudhapaga, the place where the Lord of Vaikuntha is not glorified, the katha, the narrations of the Supreme Lord are not being sung, that place is not worth staying. Nayatra vaikuntha katha sudhapaga na sadhavo bhagavatastadashraya, the place where devotees who have taken shelter of the nectarian river of this Krishna katha are not staying, that place is not worth living. The place where there is no Krishna katha, the place where there are no devotees, is not worth staying. Another point. Nayatra yagnesha makha mahotsava, the place where great festivals like Janmashtami, Radhashtami and all these great festivals are not being celebrated by devotees in worshipping the Lord, that place is also not worth staying. What is the place which is worth staying? The place where devotees are there, the place where Krishna conscious festivals are there, the place where Krishna katha is being discussed. If this place is not there, Suresha Loko Pinavaidna Sevyatam, even if it is the abode of the King of Heaven, it's not worth staying there. It is better to be staying within the airtight bag or womb of mother than to come out of that womb and to live in a place where there is no Krishna Katha, there is no devotees, and there is no festivals. So in this way, the demigods glorify Bharatavarsha. One has to utilize one's human life in this Bharatavarsha, the demigods say. So, in this way, all the 9 varshas of Jambudvipa are covered. Their dimensions, their characteristics, the mountain ranges, the rivers that are flowing there, and the residents there, and the presiding deities there, and prayers offered to the presiding deities are also described. So, this completes the description of Jambudvipa. And around Jambudvipa, there are some small islands also. So that completes the description of Jambudvipa. We are first describing the horizontal structure of the universe. Horizontal structure, which is basically the Bhumandala. So the entire universe is like a big disc, big globe, big ball, sphere. So you cut that sphere into half. You can see that picture, 5th canto, 20th chapter, the front page of that slide. You can see there are so many rings in that picture. So that is the bottom half of the universe. So below that blue color thing is the Garbhodaka ocean, and all the rings are basically the Bhumandala, and above are the planetary systems. We will discuss that. So Bhumandala has 7 oceans and 7 islands, and the middlemost island is Jambudvipa, and the structure of the Jambudvipa we have discussed in the last few chapters. In chapter number 16, 17, 18, 19 we have discussed. We are entering the 20th chapter. So, around this Jambudvipa, there is the saltwater ocean. And around the saltwater ocean, you can see that big picture. The picture where all the circles are there. So, around this Jambudvipa, there is saltwater ocean. And beyond this saltwater ocean, there is this Plakshadvipa. And beyond this Plakshadvipa, there is sugarcane juice ocean. And beyond sugarcane juice ocean, there is the Shalmali Dvipa, that red color. And beyond Shalmali Dvipa, there is the liquor ocean. All these are ring-shaped oceans and islands. And beyond liquor ocean, there is Kushadvipa. And beyond Kushadvipa, there is clarified butter ocean. And surrounding that is the Kraunchadvipa, and surrounding Kraunchadvipa is the milk ocean, which is like ring-shaped. All are ring-shaped. And beyond the milk ocean, there is Shakadvipa, and around the Shakadvipa, there is emulsified yogurt ocean. And beyond this emulsified yogurt ocean, there is this final dvipa called Pushkaradvipa, that red color, that maroon color. And in the middle of this Pushkaradvipa, there is a huge mountain range, which is circular in shape, that is called Manasottara mountain range. So this Manasottara mountain range, on top of this Manasottara mountain, Lord Sun is moving on his chariot. And on four sides of this Manasottara mountain range, there are four abodes of different demigods. On the northern side, there is Vibhavari, the residence of moon god. And on the eastern side, there is Devadhama, the residence of Indradev. On the western side, there is Nimlocha, the residence of Varuna. So like that, and on the southern side, there is Vibhavari, the abode of moon god. So, Samyamani, that is the abode of Yamaraj. These are the four abodes on the top of Manasottara mountain range. You can see the next picture where the whole disc is seen. So this picture. So where the whole disc is seen. So in this, you can see all the dvipas and all the oceans and the mountain ranges. Beyond this Manasottara mountain range, that means beyond that Pushkara dvipa, there is sweet drinking water ocean. And beyond that, there is golden land. And beyond the golden land, there is Lokaloka mountain. That Lokaloka mountain separates the tracts of land that are inhabited by human beings and an uninhabited land. So beyond that, that is called Aloka Varsha. Mount Lokaloka separates this this place where people live, and beyond that Mount Lokaloka is Aloka Varsha. There people don't live. And beyond this Aloka Varsha, there is a small gap between this Bhumandala and the covering of the universe. That small gap is the open space. So this is the entire structure of Bhumandala. So Bhumandala is having seven oceans and seven islands, and each of the seven islands have multiple Varshas, and these Varshas have their Varshas are separated by mountain ranges, and in each of those Varshas there are so many residents who are offering different prayers to their presiding deities, and there are multiple mountain ranges separating them. So that completes the horizontal structure of the universe, and we will now come to the vertical structure of the universe. And at this stage, having said that this sun god moves on his chariot on top of this Manasottara mountain range in this Pushkara Dvipa, Sukadeva Goswami in the 21st chapter describes the movements of the sun. The sun, the space between the lower planets and the upper planets is called Antariksha or outer space. And the sun is situated in the middle of this Antariksha. So he is moving on that Manasottara mountain range and giving his light to the residents of all these planetary systems. So the sun's movements are called Uttarayana and Dakshinayana, and there is this Jodayak belt. The sun moves around and then gives his light to all the residents of different planetary systems. And the sun's chariot is driven by a personality called Aruna, and he faces towards the sun god. And also Aruna is driving the chariot, and 60,000 sages named the Valakhilyas, they are of the size of thumb, they stay in front of the sun god. And there are so many other people who perform various rituals for the pleasure of sun god, and the sun god just moves like that to give light to all the residents of this universe. And there are many more technical details of the movements of the sun, and actually I am not completely aware, and I don't have very deep knowledge of the movements of sun, and I'm just describing the basic structure. And to understand this structure of the universe in a more deep fashion, there are many other references also, and we have one devotee, Pavaneshwara Prabhu. He has done deep research on these movements of sun and many other aspects of the universe. So he would be presenting a more comprehensive outline of the structure of the universe. I am just presenting only those things that are there within Bhagavatam, within my understanding. So we completed the horizontal structure of the universe, and we also have seen sun god who is giving sun god who is giving light to all the residents of planets. And we will see the other planets in the above the Bhumandala. So you can see that picture, this picture. So in this picture, you see the vertical structure of the universe. There are total 14 planetary systems in the universe. We have seen the Bhumandala. Bhumandala is not exactly flat like a 1 rupee coin. So Bhumandala has some kind of slope. In the middle, the height of Bhumandala is little more, and towards the end, as it is going towards the Manasutra mountain range or outer dvipas, so the height of the Bhumandala gets a little reduced, as you see in that picture, but not exactly like a big hill or triangle. So the altitude is very less. Actually, the whole diameter of this Bhumandala, diameter of this whole universe actually, is 500 million yojanas. And Bhumandala structure we have discussed. And above this Bhumandala, which is also called Bhuloka, there is Swarloka. So Swarloka is the place between the moon god and the Dhruvaloka. So above the Bhumandala is Bhuloka, is the Bhuvarloka, and above Bhuvarloka constitutes of this sun. The movement is, the sun is moving in Bhuvarloka, and above sun is the moon. And from moon god, from the plane of moon god up to Dhruvaloka is the Swarloka. And within this Swarloka, there are so many planets called Jupiter, Mercury, then 28 nakshatras, Venus, Mars, Saturn, and all these are there. And also above all these planets like Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, there are Saptarishis. There are 7 planets of Saptarishis. And above Saptarishis is Dhruvaloka. Up to Dhruvaloka, means from moon god till Dhruvaloka is the Swarloka. So we have seen Bhurloka, Bhuvarloka, and Swarloka. So above Bhuloka is Bhuvarloka, and in that space of Bhuvarloka, this sun god moves. And beyond this Dhruvaloka, there are 4 more lokas called Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, Satyaloka. So total 7 upper planetary systems. We have seen Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swarloka, then Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, Satyaloka. These are the 7 upper planetary systems. And below Bhumandala, in the depths of Bhumandala, there are 7 more planetary systems. They are the lower planetary systems. Their names are Atala, Vitala, as you can see in the picture. Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala. So these are the 7 lower planetary systems. And the width of these planets are 10,000 yojanas. Very small in size. And below this Patala Loka are the 28 hellish planets. And there is Pitruloka also. And this whole Bhumandala is held on the hoods of Lord Anantadev. You can see in the next picture where the whole structure of Bhumandala is seen. This full circular picture. So Anantasesha is holding this whole Bhumandala on top of his head. So Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes the glories of Anantasesha in the later chapter. And one more thing, in the 23rd chapter, which is the very smallest chapter in the entire Bhagavatam in one sense, only 9 shlokas are there. In this 23rd chapter, this entire universe is, the various elements of this universe are conceived to be parts of a dolphin or Shishumara. So just like earlier we have description of Virat Rupa, where different planetary systems in this universe are considered to be different limbs of the Supreme Lord's transcendental body. Similarly, these different planetary systems and various aspects of this universe are conceived to be part of a dolphin, Shishumara. And meditation on the Shishumara will purify the heart. So you can see that yogi meditating on the Shishumara. So that is one thing that is mentioned in the 23rd chapter. And the 24th chapter elaborately describes the subterranean heavenly planets, means Bilaswarga. We have seen Swargaloka, and in that all the planets are there, moon planet till Dhruvaloka, that is Swargaloka. And there is Bhumandala. In Bhumandala there is Jambudvipa, and in Jambudvipa there are 9 varshas, and apart from Bharatvarsha, remaining eight varshas are called Bhaumaswarga. There is Swarga, there is Bhaumaswarga, and this is Bilaswarga. Bilaswarga means subterranean heavenly planets. They are underground. They are below this Bhumandala, below the surface of this Bhumandala. So as I said, they are Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Talatala, Mahatala, and Patala. These are the 7 planetary systems. So they are also filled with a lot of variegatedness. And although sunlight doesn't reach there, still they are illuminated by different snakes that are there. The snakes have different manis on top of their heads. In this Bilaswarga, there are magnificent constructions made by Mayadanava. There are beautiful parks, gardens and lakes. No sunshine reaches there, but the jewels of the snake's hoods will illuminate all directions there. And there is no fear of people there. But Sudarshan Chakra, means in the form of a time factor, causes fear in them also. So, that completes the description of the subterranean heavenly planets. There are so many other details also. We have seen the dimensions and we have seen the residents. And the lower planetary systems also have certain facilities and lot of enjoyment there. That's why it's called Swarga. So once you go there, you are attached to different enjoyments in that Bilaswarga, and one may not have an impetus to perform devotional service. And this whole, all the planetary systems, 14 planetary systems and the entire Bhumandala is being held on the hoods of this Anantadeva. So Anantadeva is residing 30,000 yojanas below Patala Loka. And the great Bhumandala appears like a small white mustard seed on the head of Anantasisha. When Lord Ananta desires to destroy the creation, so he will become angry, and from his frowning eyebrows, angry Rudra also appears. Multiple Rudras appear and they destroy the entire universe. So Anantasesha and Shiva, they destroy the universe. And this Anantadeva is specifically worshipped by Lord Shiva. So these are the glories of Anantadeva. So having described all the planetary systems, we have seen the structure of Bhumandala. Bhumandala is in the middle of the universe, and it has 7 great islands, and they are separated by 7 great oceans, and they, within each island there are multiple varshas or tracts of land. They are separated by multiple mountain ranges, and in the middle where there is Sumeru mountain also, and beyond these 7 oceans and seven islands there is this golden land and uninhabited land. And the open space, this is all structure of Bhumandala. And above that, if you go above, there is Bhuvarloka, then there is Swarloka with all those other planets between moon and Dhruvaloka. And beyond Dhruvaloka, there is Tapoloka, Janaloka, Satyaloka, and Naharloka. And below the 7 upper planetary systems, there are 7 lower planetary systems, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Patala. These are the 7 lower planetary systems. Below that, there is Pitriloka. Below that, there is Anantadeva. And somewhere in that corner, there are 28 hellish planets also. 28 prominent hellish planets. Now, Sukadeva Goswami describes, in the last chapter of this canto, Sukadeva Goswami describes the hellish planets. There are so many hellish planets. And when people perform various sinful activities, naturally, people in this material world perform activities under the influence of 3 material modes. Mode of goodness. If a person performs activities under the influence of Sattvaguna or mode of goodness, his results are very happy. And if he does something in passion, he will receive mixed misery and happiness. And if he does something in ignorance, then he is always unhappy. So, now, a person who is working under the influence of modes has a tendency to go to hellish planets, has a near necessity to go to hellish planets, and he will be suffering for all the sinful activities he has performed. And Parikshit Maharaj has inquired, what are these hellish planets? How are the punishments there? And Sukadeva Goswami started describing
various hellish planets like Tamishra, Andhatamishra, Raurava, Maharaurava. You can see the 28 names there in that slide. And then Puyoda, Kalasutra, Asipatravana, then Andhakupa, Krimibhojana, Taptasurmi. Like that, so many planetary systems are there. And different kinds of punishments are given to sinful living entities there. Some people in Kumbhipaka, people are fried in very hot boiling oil. And in some other hellish planets, people are thrown into a big river of urine, stool, mucus, bile and pus. And in some other hellish planets, people's bodies will be pierced by vultures and foxes and other ferocious animals. Still, this person will not die. So in hellish planets, the person will be given a body in which he can suffer without meeting with death. And Yamadutas will be piercing the bodies of all the sinful people with different kinds of weapons. And there are specific types of personalities, Yamadutas, who are expert in giving specific types of punishment without getting affected. So, this is a very ghastly description of hellish planets that Sukadeva Goswami gives. So, one should try to chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord to avoid these hellish planets. And that is the subject matter of the very beginning chapters of the sixth canto. Because fifth canto ended with the description of the hellish planets. And in the beginning of the sixth canto, Parikshit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami, how can the humanity be saved from entering these hellish conditions? And in response to that, Sukadeva Goswami describes that by chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord, one can be protected from entering hellish planets. And not only that, protection from hellish planets is one insignificant byproduct of chanting of the holy name. One can attain love of Godhead. One can attain shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord also. And as a case study, he speaks the Ajamil story that we will see in the next episode. So we have completed the description of the structure of the universe. And in a very brief manner, there are so many details, which some of which are quite difficult to understand also. But there are some expert devotees who went so deep into the subject matter by referring to so many other books also. We can hear more from them. I gave a very brief outline of the structure of the universe, the vertical structure and the horizontal structure. And thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.